Christmas Hope, the story of Mary. And if you've ever thought of Mary or thought about what went on with Mary, there's some real hope there. There, I won't echo. Mary was somebody that at about the age of 15, most scholars believe that she was between the age of 13 and 16 when she conceived. Some of you are going, that's not right. That's just not right. But back then, they would get married at a much younger age than we do today. And they would be engaged, and when someone was engaged back then, it was very close to being married. And not just like we get engaged and then, oh, we'll live together and we'll see what goes on from there. And maybe if I really do like this person, I'll get married to this person. No, it was like the engagement was really, hey, this is my lady. This is my guy. And we're really, really tight right now. And we're getting married. There's no question. And anyway, Mary finds herself to be pregnant, but she doesn't find it out in the normal way. She doesn't have one of those tests, positive, negative. No, she didn't like go, oh boy, I'm in trouble now. I have a positive sign here. Right? She doesn't find out the normal way that we find out today. She finds out this angel comes to her, right? And when the angel came to Mary, she fell face down. She's like, oh man, this is crazy. And no need to be afraid, Mary. And what was Mary's response? Mary had a pretty profound response. And I don't remember if I put this in here. No, I didn't, so I'm going to... Oh, you didn't see that. Listen to what Mary says when she finds out about what's going on with her body and that she has a baby within her. My soul... This is from Luke chapter 1, 46 through 45. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in the inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he has to our fathers. There's three characteristics of Mary. And there's something that's kind of sad about the Christian church in that we don't really necessarily hold Mary in high regard. Something that Catholicism gets really right is that they hold Mary in high regard and they think highly of her. And I don't think that we necessarily think of Mary that often or that frequently. We do pray directly to the Father, right? Pray to the Father, our Father who art in heaven. Well, we pray directly to the Father, but we should hold Mary in high regard, just like we should hold John the Baptist in high regard as far as a man goes. So Mary should be held in high regard. And the reason why is because she brought into this world the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. And first thing about Mary that we discover is Mary's Hosanna. Hosanna, you ever sing the song, Hosanna in the highest? Well, Hosanna, this is Mary's song of praise and adoration. She sings this song of praise and adoration to God. And we see her just shouting out this praise. My soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Imagine you find out you're a teenager. You're 15. You find out that you are now pregnant. in that culture, it was hugely detrimental to your person, like you'd be executed. If that was found out. Now, Joseph was going to be married. He was engaged to be married to Mary. And Mary realizes this. And Mary realizes that she hasn't done anything, but now she finds herself pregnant. And she knows what can potentially happen to her as a young woman who has now found herself pregnant. Yet instead of crying and weeping and saying, "I'm going to be killed, this is horrible," she shouts out this song of praise and adoration to God. I wonder if, well, I was going to say if we were a young girl, because some of us are, I'm not, but if we were a young girl in this particular place, at this particular time, having experienced this and realizing that, oh man, this is really happening, what would we do? What would our reaction be like Mary's? I'm the most blessed woman ever. People are going to look at me as blessed. I don't know that we'd do that. I don't know if our focus would be on God. I think our focus would be on our own self and what's going on in our life and how can I deal with this? What am I going to do? But Mary has this incredible moment of praise. And praise, this is what praise is. Praise is a verbal offering to God from your heart. So it's this verbal offering of God from your heart. It's going, "Lord, thank you. Lord, oh man, I'm so grateful. I thank you for this, that." And it just comes from the heart. It's not just from the mind, it's from the heart. It's an overflow. And some of us may wonder, well, what is really an overflow? I've never really connected with that in my own life. I don't know what that looks like. I haven't had this overflowing joy or adoration from my heart. Or maybe you have, like when you were a kid and you open up this present and you're like, "Woo!" And you just get all happy and excited about a present or something like that, since it is Christmas coming up, right? And we think of presents and gifts and things like that. Well, the ultimate gift has come, and the ultimate gift ends up in the womb of a virgin. And she starts praising God. Wow. That's so contrary to what most of us would do. But it's so amazing. Because it's someone that actually realizes, wow, I have this unique connection with God. But not only do I have a unique connection with God now, God's in me, right? God is with us in me. What? This is crazy. You know who Handel is? Handel? I said Handel. The Handel. I'm talking about the composer. Well, he was composing one night, and the orchestra played the Messiah so powerfully and profoundly. The crowd stood and couldn't stop clapping and giving an ovation. And someone pointed at Handel, and he's up there. And you know what he does? They're screaming, clapping. He goes like this. They're praising him, but he's pointing at, it's all about God. You ever see an NFL person catch a football, score the touchdown, and go, "Yeah!" Right? Some of them, some of the baseball players, you may not even be a sports fan, you go, "What is he talking about?" A baseball player may hit a home run, they cross the plate, and they go, right? No? Okay, some of you got that. Right? So, they're like, "God's in here, yeah, God, you're up there. You're in here and up there." I don't know. It's kind of one of these expressions. And Mary, you know what she does? She's like, "Yeah, God, you're here and here." You know? She's like, "You're here. Here?" And it was crazy because she's going, "This, wow, I didn't do this. This isn't me. This is all God. God's using me, despite myself, to honor him and ultimately bring him into the world. This is insane. How is this possible? I'm nobody special." God uses nobody special to do incredibly special things. And you may think that you're nobody special. But God's sitting there going, you don't even know who you are. You're special. You're more than special. You're going to be powerfully, profoundly used by me to do amazing things in this world. And you can't even see it. And you're not going to bring the Messiah into the world. That's already happened. But you know what? Each of us, even if we have the lowest self-esteem you can fathom, God's going, don't look at what you think you are. Look at who I know you are. God's saying, I know you are more than what you think you are. That you are meant for greater things than you think you are. Mary had really nothing. And God saw something incredibly profound in this young girl. It doesn't matter if you're young, if you're old, if you're in middle age. It doesn't matter where you find yourself in life. What matters is who God says you are and what God says you can do. Because you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Did you know that? You can do all things. You can't just do a couple things. Well, I'm pretty good at this. And I'm okay with this. No. God's like, hey, listen, man. Listen, woo man. You can do more. And you're meant for more. So Handel's pointing to the skies. Something else really amazing about Mary is Mary's humility. She was incredibly humble. She wasn't going, yeah, God, you're in me. Yeah, look at this. I got God. She's not walking around going, you know who's in here? You know? No, really. Do you know who's in here? Yeah, you try to feel my womb. Don't touch my womb. You don't even know who's in here. She's not doing that, right? She's humble. And there's three elements of humility. And these three elements, the first one is realize you're not in charge. Have you ever thought of that? We're really not in charge. A lot of us are take charge people. And in America, that's a really great attribute, isn't it? Take charge. Move forward. Do what you need to do. Get things accomplished because you can do it. You can do it. Right? Realize you're not in charge. You know how hard that is for most of us? I'm not in charge. What do you mean I'm not in charge? I'm always in charge. There's this passage in the scripture from Matthew 6:27. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Now listen to the Message translation. That was the New King James. But here's the Message translation. Has anyone by fussing in front of the mirror ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? Now the Message, it's not a translation, it's a paraphrase, but I thought that was kind of amusing. Because I know when I was younger, I used to sit in front of the mirror and go, man, did I grow today? I've been saying that for like 40 years. I'm not even 40 yet. Not even close to 40. No, I'm kind of close. All right, leave me alone. So, realize you're not in charge. Like, I'm only in charge of certain things. Like, I can't get myself to grow. I tried to do the stretch thing when I hung upside down and had my ankles hang. You ever see that? One of my friends had that at his house. He's like, I've been trying to grow, Kobe. This was when I was 12. It wasn't like recently. I said, Kevin, what are you doing, man? You're not going to grow that way. He said, oh, yeah. My father said I'd be able to grow if I hung here long enough. I said, you're not going to grow, man. He's like, yes, I am. And he said, you want to try it? I said, okay, I'll try it. I mean, so I'm hanging upside down. I'm like, I don't feel anything except I'm getting dizzy, man. I don't know. It's kind of weird. You know, I'm hanging here upside down. By my ankles, it wasn't right. But we can't control our height, can we? I mean, maybe we can go get surgery and get our bones to grow a little. I don't know. But that's not what the point is. The point is actually realizing that we're not in control. We're not in charge. God is. I don't know if you find that, like, lets you be at ease, but it makes me at ease. It puts me at ease when I realize that all this stuff that happens, you know, I can make choices and things that can either honor God or dishonor God, or can move things forward in my life or make me go backward in my life. But ultimately, God is in charge. What a blessing that is. How about this one? Accept your position as a servant. So, this is hard for most of us already with realizing you're not in charge. We've got to realize we're not in charge, and then accepting our position as a servant. Some of us are sitting in here right now going, what do you mean I'm a servant? I want to be a servant. I want to be served. I want to get served. And then there's others of us that are like, yeah, I agree with that. I'm a servant. In the Bible, it talks about being a servant, right? So I guess I am a servant. But I never really thought of it. Do you want to stand out? Then step down. Be a servant. Matthew 23:11. Step down, be a servant. We need to step down, be a servant. If you're in a relationship with another human being, whether it be a spouse, whether it be a good friend, whether it be a family member, what would that relationship look like if you actually lived like a servant in that relationship? I know some of you are thinking, I really don't want to find out. But what would that look like? How would that change the relationship? Because in most relationships, I hate to say this, but most of us, it's all about us. What would happen if we served? What would happen if we truly love someone so much that we serve them? Did you know Christ came to serve? He didn't come for his own purposes. He came to serve. Some of you have served loved ones in some pretty darn profound ways. And it formed a beautiful connection with that loved one. And it was profound and had incredible impact on your life personally. There's something powerful about serving somebody. There's something beautiful about serving somebody. Ask yourself the question, do I serve or do I desire to be served? Submit yourself to God. So the third part of humility is to submit ourselves to God. God resisted the proud. He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. That comes from James 4:6-7. Submit to God. There's a period after submit to God. Did you know that? Submit to God, period. That's another aspect of our lives that's really hard. These three, when we start praying like, God, allow me to be a humble person. Do we actually know what we're praying for? Like, we're actually praying, Lord, may I realize that I'm not in charge. May I accept my position as a servant. And Father, may I submit myself to you. Whoa. Those are some pretty powerful prayers. And we may be just saying, Lord, humble me. A lot of times when we pray to be humbled, some difficult times start coming our way, right? Because in the midst of difficulty, we learn humility. And when we learn humility, we learn about God a whole heck of a lot more than we do when we're being pride-filled and having selfish ambition and whatever it may be. All of us can be at that spot where we make it about ourselves. Mary knew that she would not live her whole life under a cloud of suspicion. She didn't really know that. She could have lived her entire life under a cloud of suspicion, and she knew that was the possibility, that people would be whispering about her. Hey, did you know that Mary, she was actually pregnant before she got together with Joseph? And did you know that Joseph married her anyway? And did you know, have you ever heard gossip and how it spreads? Mary knew that was a possibility. But she knew God would get her through and allow her to persevere. Mary accepted God's will. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." That's Luke 1:38. "Let it be to me according to your word. Lord, let it be to me. Whatever you desire for me, may it be, God, so I can be everything that you desire me to be." What if we start praying like this? What if we start living like this? Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. You got that? Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. We live in a society with self-image problems and people that are evaluating themselves and saying, "I'm not good enough. It doesn't all add up here." But Mary is with child. And Mary discovers this incredible hope in the midst of confusion, but she realizes that this is amazing, incredible hope. And the third characteristic of Mary is this hope. She has hope, and she realizes that there's hope. Mary put her hope in the promises of God. A couple weeks ago, I gave a message, "Give thanks for the promises." And then last week, I talked about some promises, and we worked through some of that. And we've got to be people that live on the promises of God, not live on the past woes and tribulations, but we live on the promises and hopes that God has for us. And when we begin to live on the promises that God has for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us hope in a future. Because God, He does know the plans He has for us. When we start living on those promises, it's beautiful. When we start giving thanks in the midst of difficult times and finding the blessings in the midst of difficult times, like that clip that we saw earlier, sit down in bed, "God, give me something to be thankful for." When in reality, we have so much to give thanks for. In our country, there's a high level of depression with a lot of people, particularly at this time of year. If you find yourself getting low, I want you to focus on the things to be thankful for. Try to do that. Try to find those things, those little things, like running water, like lots of healthy water that you can actually pour on your body and not getting bacteria or infection. Give thanks for dirty dishes. Give thanks for people that are in your lives that care about you. Give thanks for the times in which are difficult, because in the midst of the difficulty, we should be able to see the beauty. And some of us may be sitting here this morning and going, "You know what, I'm going through a difficult time right now. I don't see any beauty." One of the reasons a lot of us have difficulty finding beauty in the midst of tribulation is because our focus is diverted. Our focus becomes all about the difficulty rather than about God and what He can allow us to see in the midst of difficulty. Some of us have difficult relationships. And you know what? This time of year, we get around people that allow us to discover how difficult relationships can be. Some family members can be really tough to deal with. And some of us sitting in here may be those family members. Why do you laugh? I'm looking at, no, look at you. Hopefully none of us are those family members that other people go, "Oh man, I can't believe I got to go see Vinny." I don't think we have a Vinny in here. But what's amazing is a lot of us, I would say all of us in here, you know what? During this time of year, I think each of us in here has shelter, has clothing, has shoes on their feet. You know what? We're so spoiled in this country, we even have underwear. Really. We take so much for granted. Have you ever thanked God for underwear? Some of you are going, "Why are you going there, man?" Have you ever thanked God for shoes on your feet? Have you ever gotten up in the morning and said, thank you for a blanket? Have you ever rolled out of bed and said, thank you for a floor? Have you ever stood on that floor and said, Lord, thank you for feeling in my feet? Or have you ever got out of bed and had pain and hurt? Thank God for pain. Have you ever taken a shower and given thanks for water hitting you and for soap in your hand and now on your face and even in your hair, special soap for your hair and even more special soap for the end of your shower to give some conditioning to your hair? I mean, we're so incredibly spoiled and we don't give thanks. Not to lay any guilt on, but just think about what would happen if we gave thanks for those things. Or how about when you step out of the shower, you have a towel to wipe off the cleanliness of your cleanly body and wipe all that clean. And then not only that, you have a fresh pair of clothes to put on. But not only that, you go walk in your closet and you're like, I don't have anything to wear. And we look at our closet and we have like 25, 35, 57, 89 pairs of different clothes we can wear. Oh, I just can't find anything to wear today. Have you ever done that? Next time you do that, go, I am so blessed. Look at all of my clothes. Look at all of my shoes. Well, look at all my shoes. You think Imelda Marcos ever did that? You know who she was? She had like 2,000 pairs of shoes, but some of her shoes were like $10,000 shoes with like diamonds on them and stuff, crazy like that. Do you ever think she actually stood in her closet with all those shoes and went, thank you for 2,000 pairs of shoes that I haven't even worn, that one, right? I don't know that she ever did. I think she just wanted more shoes. Give me more. Give me more. Give me more. What if we were like, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Or how about thank you for hope? Thank you for hope. I have a hope within me that in the midst of anything, I have hope. I don't know where you find yourself today, but I do know that in the midst of all the Christmas stories, and sometimes we may get together with our family and friends and start talking about our Christmas memories and what happened when we were kids. Because I know when my family gets together, we start laughing about certain things that have happened past Christmases. And we have Christmas stories that really don't relate to the true Christmas story. But may we find in this season, may we discover true hope, real hope, a hope that cannot be taken from us. A hope that in the midst of the most difficult, tragic times of life, we can find peace and joy and hope. Because the hope is in us. Doesn't matter what happens in my body, it's all about my soul. We got to take care of our bodies, but it's about our soul. What does your soul look like this day? Let's pray. Father God, it is such an incredible privilege and blessing to be able to communicate the scriptures and talk about them. And Lord, I just ask, oh God, that as we come into this season of Advent, Lord, when you are coming into this world and we're preparing for you to come, Lord, that we would give thanks and praise to you, Lord. Because Father, you are the coming King. And Lord, may we be hopeful and discover great hope in this season, even if we've had past Christmases, Lord, that have been really difficult, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you will free us and allow us to be set free from anything that hinders us from discovering your hope. Lord, empower us to discover you more, and may we realize that we are overcomers because you have first overcome this world. In the name of Jesus, amen.